Miraculous events of companions. Miraculous events of companions. Miraculous events of companions. Radiyallahu anhum. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you once again in our new episode of our program, Miraculous Events of Sahaba. And our discussion at the moment is going about the miraculous events of the second Caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu an. In our last episode, we covered beautiful miraculous events of Faruqi Azam radiyallahu an, and so that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him an authority over the four basic elements of the nature, and how the air, the earth, fire, and even water was under the obedience of Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu. And we touched upon the fact as well that this also entails that Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu has control over everything of this universe, because the four basic elements of nature upon which he has control, those are the elements which are the basic essence of everything of this universe. So once you have control of the essence of something, that you have control over the actual thing as well. So we touched upon this very subject in our last episode, and today, inshallah, we will continue our discussion on the topic of Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu and his miraculous events, the authority, the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him for the sake of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But before that, as usual, let's first of all listen to a virtue of sending peace and salutations upon the noble Prophet, our master, our leader, our intercessor, who is the final messenger, the final prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu mentions one blessing of sending salutations upon the noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, where he states that your du'as remain suspended between the earth and the heavens until you send salat upon the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So dear viewers, our discussion is about Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu and his miraculous powers, the authorities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him. Once Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu, he mobilized an army and sent them for an expedition in one of the cities. Now after the army had left for the expedition, after a few days of this, the people, they heard Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu saying, ya labbaykahu, loudly, twice. Now, the people, they were quite surprised as to why Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu has uttered these words, ya labbaykahu, meaning that, O person, I'm present upon your call. So, the people there, quite shocked, that why Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu is saying, ya labbaykahu, in the midst of nothing, as apparently, nothing is taking place in front of us. No one is calling upon Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu. No one has called him. So who is he replying to? Why is he saying, ya labbaykahu, loudly? So the people, they are astonished. However, after a few days, the same army that Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu had sent for an expedition, that army returns back to Madinatul Munawwara, and the commander-in-chief of the army, he starts mentioning about the achievements, about the victory that they attained during that very battle, during that very expedition. Now, in the midst of this, as the commander-in-chief is mentioning about his victory, in the midst of it, Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu stops him and he says, leave all this and tell me the entire account of the mujahid, of the warrior whom you forcefully put into the river. And he said, ya umarahu, twice. He called upon me. What is the account behind this? Now the commander-in-chief, he very respectfully and very humbly replied in the court of Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu saying, O leader of believers, O Amirul Mu'mineen, I had to cross the river along with my army. And to get an idea of the depth of the water, I had to put that mujahid, that warrior, into the water. Now, because it was winter, it was quite cold weather, and it was very windy as well, that's why he got cold. And he called upon you twice, and then all of a sudden, after he called you twice, all of a sudden, his soul was seized. His soul left his body. And he carries on to say that Allah is witness that I did not command him to go in the river with the intention of harming him passing away. Allah's witness over this, that this wasn't my intention, that I didn't want to kill him, that with this intention I asked him to go in the river. No, this wasn't the intention behind. The main intention was to check the depth of the water. Now, when the commander-in-chief, he mentioned this entire account, now the people who were astonished at once that why Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu has uttered these words, Ya Labbaikahu, Ya Labbaikahu, now they realized the wisdom behind the utterance of these words of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu. Now, after listening to this entire account by the commander-in-chief, the second caliph of Islam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he becomes furious. He comes in a state of anger and he says that had I not feared that this custom would be established, if I didn't have this fear, then I would have sentenced you severely. And then Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu carries on to say that therefore pay blood money to his heirs and beware that in future never do anything as such to any warrior, to any mujahid from which there is a fear of him passing away. Where? There is a fear, a danger of him losing his life. And towards the end, Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu, he said that for me, the killing of the Muslim is bigger than any other destruction. Allahu Akbar. Remarkable saying of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu towards the end of this entire account, where he mentioned that killing of a Muslim is more destructive to me than any other destruction. Then the greatest of the destructions, this very destruction is more severe to me, where a Muslim is killed. Now, dear viewers of Madini Channel, in this miraculous event of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu, we again come to know of many authorities and powers of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu. Again, we come to know his authority over the air, where a companion, a warrior, is stuck in adversities, in calamities, and he calls upon Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu from very far away. Very, very far away. No one else is able to hear that voice, but Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu is. He calls, Ya Umarahu, Ya Umarahu. He calls upon Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu. No one else is able to hear him, but Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu is able to hear him in Madinatul Munawwara. Within the same surroundings, other companions are also there. Other peoples are also there. But they are unable to hear these very calls of him, these very calls of that very warrior who's several of miles away from Madinatul Munawwara. But Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu is able to hear his call. And then Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu replies to him by saying, Ya Labbaikahu, Ya Labbaikahu. And the people all the way in that faraway land, they're able to hear the voice of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu. This shows us again the greatness of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu, the authority that he had over air. And then we also come to know of the beliefs of the Sahaba, that the Sahaba, when they came to know of the wisdom behind the call of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu, where he said, Ya Labbaikahu, Ya Labbaikahu, what was the wisdom behind it? Why he uttered it? As initially, they couldn't understand why Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu said it. But when the army came back and when they relayed the entire account, then they understood the wisdom behind his utterance of Ya Labbaikahu, Ya Labbaikahu. And they knew that Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu is the most superior amongst all of them at that very moment of time, because Siddiq-i-Akbar radiallahu anhu, he had apparently departed from this world. And Siddiq-i-Akbar radiallahu anhu is the most superior amongst the entire creation after the prophets and messengers. So as long as Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was present, then Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the most superior, and Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu was second after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. After Siddiq-i-Akbar radiallahu anhu departed, then Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu was the most superior. And once someone is the most superior, of course his authorities and powers would also be superior to other people. So other people, they knew about this. And no one questioned that, why did you say Ya Labbaykahu even after the army came? That is when they realized the wisdom of Farooq Azam radiallahu an, uttering Ya Labbaykahu. And they realized that Farooq Azam radiallahu an had heard the voice of that mujahid from all the way, wherever they were for that very expedition. From far away land, Farooq Azam radiallahu an was able to hear the voice of that very individual. And within the same surroundings, they're also present over there, they themselves were not able to hear it. None of them questioned Farooq Azam radiallahu an. They said, how can you hear it and we can't? Because they knew Farooq Azam radiallahu an is superior than us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant whatever powers and authorities He wants to whomsoever He wants. And Farooq Azam radiallahu an indeed possessed these powers. And then we also come to know that the practice of Sahaba would be that when they would be in such dangers, they would call upon the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they knew that the powers and authorities Allah Almighty has blessed them with, they are second to none. They are so superior. And then Farooq Azam radiallahu an also making his voice reach all the way to wherever that very army was. This shows us how Farooq Azam radiallahu an was able to control the air and make it obedient to Farooq Azam radiallahu an. So the companions at both ends, they knew of the greatness of Farooq Azam radiallahu an. They believed in it, and it was not for no reason that they would refer to him as Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, O the leader of believers. SubhanAllah. Now another miraculous event of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, the Views of Madani channel, is where two lions from the unseen, they came and they guarded Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. SubhanAllah. This is again the dignity and honor of the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Almighty blesses them with such dignity, and Allah Almighty provides them such means of guarding and security that leaves the intellects of the ordinary perplexed, that leaves the intellects of the ordinary completely astonished as to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguards them, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals their dignity before other people. Now what happened was that once a non-Arab ambassador of the Roman Empire came in Madinatul Munawwara, and he started to ask people that, where is the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen? Where's the house of your leader, of the leader of the believers? Now, in his mind, he thought that Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, who's the leader of the believers, who's Amir al-Mu'mineen, he would be living in a grand, majestic palace, which was the concept in non-Muslim lands regarding the kings, that how they would live in luxuries and comfort. So this is what he had in his mind. So he asked the people, that where is the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen? So the people, they told him that Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the Muslims, the leader of the believers, would be in somewhere in the desert milking the goats. This is what they replied, that he would be in one of the deserts milking the she-goats. Now, this very ambassador, he went in search of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, and he reaches the place where Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu is. What does he witness over there? So just imagine that in his mind, what picture he drew, that Amir al-Mu'mineen Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu would be living a life of luxury, as he is Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he would be living in a grand palace. There would be a big throne of his. So all this is in his mind. But now he goes in the court of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, and what does he see? He sees that Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he's resting on the ground with a leather whip under his head. Allahu Akbar. On bare ground, Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu is lying with a leather whip under his head as his pillow. Now upon this, he's thinking to himself, he says to himself, that the state of that person from whom people in the east and west, they tremble with fear. His state is such that he's lying on a bare ground, on an empty ground he's lying, and he's having rest over there. This is his state. So this is how he's speaking to himself now. He's thinking to himself that this is the person from whom people in the east and people in the west, they are fearful of him. They tremble with fear when they hear the name of Umar. And this is what his state is, that he's lying on the bare ground. And then he carries on to think. He thinks to himself that there's no God with him. He is without any God. So how easy it is to, ma'adallah, kill him. This is what he thinks now. There's no God with him. So how easy it is to kill him. As the concept in his mind for a king was a grand palace, a grand throne, an army of gods around him. And this was the precedence set by non-believers, by disbelievers, by non-Muslim kings and emperors in the history. It was Islam that changed this concept all around. It was the likes of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh who changed this concept all around, that being Amirul Mu'mineen means to serve the people. The simplicity that he expressed, the simplicity that he showed, that was second to none. This entire concept was changed by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, by Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh, that despite being the most superior amongst everyone, yet the state of simplicity is such that they're lying on bare ground with a leather whip as their pillow. Now, this very ambassador, he's looking at the simplicity of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh, simplicity of that individual from whom the people in the East and in the West, they are fearful of. And at the same time, he thinks that how easy it is to kill him. Now, with this intention, what happens? He takes his sword out. No one with Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh. He's sleeping. He's resting on bare ground. And in the midst of this secluded area, this ambassador of the Roman Empire, he takes his sword out. As soon as he does that, now all of a sudden, when he sees two lions pouncing upon him from the unseen, he starts trembling with fear. And because of this fear, he drops his sword. And in the midst of all this, Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh wakes up. Now when Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh wakes up, he sees a person standing in front of him with a sword lying on the ground, and that person is trembling with fear. So he asks him that what happened. He asks him about the entire account. So the ambassador, he mentioned the entire account. He mentioned the truth before Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh. Now, listening to everything, Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh dealt with him very politely, very kindly. And Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh, he forgave him. Subhanallah. So this very ambassador who was on the verge of attacking Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh, who was on the verge of martyring Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh, he was forgiven by Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh. And due to this affectionate and loving behavior, this polite behavior of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh, this very ambassador of the Roman Empire became very impressed of Islam and eventually embraced Islam. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, from this miraculous event of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh again, we come to know of the grandeur, the majesty, the greatness, the excellence of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh. The many Madani pearls of wisdom that we can derive from this very miraculous event, from this very saintly miracle of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh. We can see that first thing first, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected His chosen servant, Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh. That from the unseen, two lions pounced upon the disbeliever who came to take the life away of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh. This is how beloved Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh was in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how chosen and special he was. So this is one of the miraculous events of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh. Then we also come to know of the simplicity of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh, and how disinterested he was from this perishing world, that despite being Amirul Mu'mineen, despite having access to all the luxuries and comforts of this world, yet he spent a very simple life. What a great legacy he left behind for us, as the precedence that was set in the entire world by the previous kings and emperors was to live a luxurious life, a life full of comforts. But the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam left a great legacy, taught the humanity that what simplicity is, that what being a leader is. Then Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh continued that legacy, which was followed by Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh. Being Amirul Mu'mineen, he spent a very simple life, and even the ambassadors of other territories, they were amazed to see Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh. Their mindset and concept was completely different, but seeing Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh, their mindset completely changed, and they realized what being Amirul Mu'mineen, what being a king, a leader actually means. It means to serve the humanity rather than fulfilling your own desires and leading your own life in luxuries and comfort. And then we also come to know, dear viewers, that people in far and wide lands, they were scared and fearful of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu. This was the awe that had embedded in the hearts of people regarding Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu. And towards the end of this event, we learned that Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu, he treated him very kindly, very politely, and forgave him. He was very affectionate and kind towards the person who came to take his life. He was very kind and affectionate towards him. And on the other hand, we also learn in narrations that Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu was the most strict when it came to the matters of Sharia. He was very strict to impose the matters of Sharia. But when it came to his own personal being, his own personal life, he radiallahu anhu forgave the other person. So this shows us that Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu, everything of his was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing was for his own personal sake. As when it came to his own personal life, he forgave the other person. But when it came to the laws of Sharia, he was very strict in this. This shows us his great conduct, that everything of his was for the sake of Allah Almighty, for the sake of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, for the sake of Deen of Islam. He would be very strict in imposing the rulings of Islam, the laws of Islam. He would be very strict in this. He wouldn't compromise on that. But when it came to his own self, a person who came to take his life, he forgives him. This is the kind nature of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu. And what happened afterwards? The person, he embraced Islam. It was the kind conduct of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu who turned him into Islam, who made him embrace Islam. That very person, he was impressed by the conduct of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the second caliph of Islam, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, and eventually he came in the folds of Islam, he embraced Islam. So what do we learn from this? What do we learn from this is that our kind behavior towards others will make them impressed towards Islam. As this very ambassador, he had also seen many other things. The simplicity of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu, he had seen the bravery of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu, the fear that other people had regarding Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu. All these things were on one side, but it was the element of forgiving, the forgiveness of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu, and the element of the kind behavior and kind conduct of him towards him that made him embrace Islam. So a great lesson for us, dear viewers of Madani Channel, that we should also have a kind nature, a kind behavior, a kind conduct towards others if we want to impress them towards Islam, if we want to have them enter the folds of Islam. This is the great legacy left for us by our master, by our leader, the second caliph of Islam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, this was all from today's episode where we covered a few more miraculous events of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu. Insha'Allah Zawajal, in our next episode, we will return once again with more miraculous events of our master, of our leader, the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. Till then, take very good care of yourself and stay tuned into Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Miraculous events of companions, miraculous events of companions, miraculous events of companions.